B-Pod Studios.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Las Vegas police said that a man tried to skip out on a $4,000 restaurant bill and then made a bomb threat at the Bellagio last week. Greg Cohen, officers were called to, by the way, he's the name of the guy is Greg Cohen, and officers were called to the Las Vegas Strip property around 3:30 p.m. When officers arrived, casino security told them that Cohen had been eating and drinking in Spago, a restaurant in the casino, and had a bill of $4,312.75.
Well, that's a hefty tab.
He reportedly got up and left, saying that he was using the bathroom. Huh. According to the restaurant's manager, Cohen had ordered seafood and a bottle of Dom Perignon, then socialized with women nearby and bought them champagne. The manager then said he saw Cohen at a table game. So to rack up $4,000.
Yeah.
Even if it's Dom, how many freaking bottles are you going to have to order, and how much food would you have had to have ordered to run that up?
It's crazy.
Cohen was asked to return to the restaurant to pay the bill. The report said Cohen stated that he had $10,000 to pay, but then he emptied his pockets and he had no money at all.
He just had a rabbit's foot and some Cracker Jacks.
He was taken into security custody. When waiting for police to arrive, security said that Cohen had said, "I'll bet if there was a bomb, they'd get here really fast."
Uh-huh.
When asked directly if he placed a bomb in the casino, Cohen reportedly said, "There is a bomb." And then he repeated the word bomb multiple times.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
Court records show Cohen is charged with communicating a bomb threat and then theft and defrauding a proprietor. He's expected back in court on the 1st of December, by the way.
Yeah, even though the price is being jacked up at the casinos, that you'd run a $4,000 tab.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Kathy had this in the news. Sorry, I'm dealing with a little phlegm issue today. We'll start with this. We'll go back to this story. Some 80 people ransacked a Nordstrom's department store in Walnut Creek, California on Saturday night, stealing merchandise and assaulting two employees before escaping in a large number of cars that were waiting outside that they'd arrived in.
Like a fleet.
Some of those involved in the San Francisco Bay Area incident, which police called clearly a planned event, were wearing ski masks and carrying crowbars.
Wow.
Most got away with just three people arrested. Police said in a statement Sunday that they were reviewing surveillance footage to try and identify other suspects. I got to believe they're going to nab some of those people. I mean, it's 80 of them, and you got all these cars.
Tons of footage.
To get some footage.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And clear footage, what I saw.
That is just wild that happened. 80 people and how they organized.
Balls. Yeah.
I'm really curious about that. All right, Whitefish, Montana is known for fly fishing and hiking trails studded with yellow aspen trees. But after Silicon Valley billionaire Michael Gogan took up residence in the Rocky Mountain town several years ago, he transformed it into his private fiefdom, a dark banana republic where he allegedly controls local law enforcement and a harem of young women.
This is troubling.
The bombshell allegations, which also include claims of Gogan ordering his security chief to kill detractors, are contained in a lengthy civil complaint recently filed in the United States District Court for the District of Montana. According to court papers, Gogan, who is 57, employs hundreds of residents in companies he controls and owns a series of luxury safe houses where he takes dozens of young women for sex, and he has a spreadsheet documenting his sexual encounters with 5,000 women and even outfitted a local bar that he owns with a basement, quote, boom boom room, which features a stripper pole.
The boom boom room.
Yeah, the underground enclave is allegedly used to maintain women for the purpose of committing illicit sexual activity. The complaint, which seeks more than $800 million in damages, was filed by four former employees who set up Gogan's Amnentor Group, LLC, which is a security contractor that has clients around the world. And now Gogan is wrapped up in a mystery that just keeps getting messier as person after person has apparently tried to take him down, only to end up taken down themselves. Originally from Bedford, Massachusetts, Gogan joined the venture investment firm Sequoia Capital in 1996. Companies including he was already known for taking smart early bets on companies including Apple, Cisco, would later generate buzz and money for getting behind brands that would become enormous, like Google, YouTube,
right.
PayPal, and Instagram among them. So he was really good at this stuff. But he had gotten a share of the Google deal and, as Bloomberg reported, frequently appeared on the Forbes Midas list for his ability to find and fund winning technologies. But things came to a crashing halt in 2016 when his former mistress, Amber Baptiste, an exotic dancer from Canada,
I remember this,
accused him of constant sexual abuse, including countless hours of forced sodomy. And it goes into great detail about some horrible things that this guy did. But apparently, and this is why I put it in the bizarre file, he has this whole area of his under his control.
He's like a Marvel villain.
Yeah. And so they're going after him, and it's going to be interesting to see this play out in court and how far this guy took it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. All right, and then one more story and we will wrap it up. How about this one? More details in Kentucky have been released about a shooting Friday afternoon that started with an argument over a CB radio.
They still have those.
Yeah, believe it or not. The shooting suspect is Noah Bolin Jr. Deputies say Bolin drove to the home of William Danny Johnson, where the two met in the driveway, and the shooting happened. Deputies say Bolin proceeded to beat Johnson after the shooting as well.
Where's my radio?
Johnson suffered a gunshot wound to the stomach and right side. He was flown to the hospital, and he underwent surgery Friday evening. Investigators say both men are in their 60s, and they've known one another since high school.
Man.
Bolin faces a first-degree assault. The victim's son says he feels that it should be an attempted murder charge. Investigators say Johnson, listen to this, was shot with a revolver that shoots 410 bore shotgun shells.
Holy hell.
It's a handgun that shoots shotgun shells.
I don't like that.
When asked what led to the dispute, the sheriff said, just personal things over the years, I think, had been built up. Hard feelings for many years. The shooter said he had just taken all that he could take and was pushed over the limit on the CB radio.
So, do truckers still use CB radio a lot?
I assume that they do.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you for sure or not. But
I remember when they were all the rage, and I think we got, what do we get? A Pace, I think, was the name brand of the Citizen CB radio.
That sounds familiar.
Huge whipping antenna on the back of a Subaru.
Yeah.
And it was crazy, yeah.
Yeah, I was deep in the CB culture as well once Smokey and the Bandit hit. I mean, come on, man.
Had to. Got to get your convoy. What's your 20?
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
This was a tragic story over the weekend. I'm sure you guys saw it. Friends and family gathered Friday for a vigil to remember 19-year-old Justine Gross, a Penn State student from New Jersey who died in what police said was an accident at an apartment building near the university's campus.
It's horrible.
Gross, who is from Summit, was killed this month when she fell through a trash chute at an apartment building near Penn State. Authorities released few details on the death, but described the incident as an accident. They had a vigil on Friday night. In an interview, Francois Gross said that her daughter's roommate said that she met a man at the Beaver Terrace Apartments last Wednesday night, and he gave her, quote, a smoke, which she said may have sent the college student into a panic. She said that she was shocked, and to her knowledge, Justine did not use drugs. She stated that he said she had a really bad reaction, panic or whatever, and that he was trying to take her back to her apartment on the 10th floor. Francois Gross said that she was not convinced her daughter's death was entirely by accident and was awaiting a coroner's report. So that was horrible to hear that news. So very sad stuff. Lighter story to share with you. Guests at a place called I Smash Syracuse Rage Room got a surprise Sunday when a deer came crashing through a window and into the business.
Angry deer.
We obviously wanted to blow off some steam.
Freaking forest and berries and gold and sticks.
Photos and videos show the deer smashing through a window and running through the lobby with guests nearby. Owner Stephen Shortino, said that the deer had some cuts, but was okay and eventually ran out of the building.
Is that a deer story breaking through a, you had one coming up the stairs in a, the balcony of a church, I think it was?
Yeah, that's correct. Now they're breaking into rage rooms.
That's why I keep my shoes on at night.
It's a good idea. Yeah. You never know when a deer will be in the house.
Yep.
While locked up in a, quote, scary Florida jail following a DUI arrest, a Florida woman removed the metal wiring from her bra and used it to damage a cell door in an attempt to escape the jail.
It's pretty inventive.
Yeah. While the alleged plot by Susan May Shepard failed, her MacGyver-like ingenuity is worth of notice. Shepard was arrested on DUI charges and booked into the Sumter County Jail, where she was placed in a holding cell in the booking area. Shepard gave her address as a resident in the village's retirement community. And while in her cell, Shepard removed the metal wiring from her bra, proceeded to use it to make numerous scrape marks into the glass at the bottom of the holding cell door. Hmm. Shepard also allegedly sought to crawl out of a small opening in the holding cell door feet first and had to be directed to, quote, pull her legs back into the cell.
Very Mission Impossible-like.
When later questioned, Shepard reportedly copped to damaging the cell door with her bra wire in an attempt to, quote, escape the jail, which she described as scary.
What if she replaced the wire in her bra with plastic explosives from now on?
That might be more suitable for this. Shepard's harebrained plot, which would have required Shawshank-level time and commitment to succeed, resulted in two additional charges being added to the docket, attempt to escape, a felony, and criminal mischief, a misdemeanor. She was freed on $11,000 bond.
How big is that wire that's in an underwire bra?
Not that big, I don't think.
There's two of them.
It's still, I mean, it's not huge, but I mean.
Okay, it's not like a spatula or something, right? No.
But maybe like a coat hanger or something like that?
No, I'd say it's a little bit thicker. At least
like a cricket paddle?
Maybe with the with the pad or the fabric over it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit thicker than like a wire hanger. Right. Wire hangers.
All right. So if you knew what you were doing though with it, do you think you could use it to pick a lock or anything like that?
Probably, I would think so.
Do you think you could just insert your own nipple into the lock?
Ooh, wow. You'd have to get aroused first.
Yeah.
Have to be hard. Like, what are we listening to?
It's Mission Impossible.
The Mission Impossible theme.
But for people who are not up to the level of the actual Mission Impossible crew, people who use their underwire bras to try to escape prison.
I'm so confused.
I pull the wire out of the bathing suit sometimes. Yeah, if they're too annoying.
It's too painful, right?
Yeah, sometimes if it like digs into the skin and I really like the bathing suit, I'm like, that's it.
Okay.
It also attracts lightning.
Let those puppies flap, Nick.
Yeah, she's going to ask.
It's time for the kennel to open.
Puppies flap.
Well, I don't know what I thought.
All right. Richard Avazian and his wife, Marietta Tarabellian, were facing prison for their role in a massive COVID relief fraud scheme when they cut off their electronic tracking bracelets and fled their California home, abandoning their three teenage children. They left a typewritten note for the kids, who are 13, 15, and 16, and it said, "We will be together again one day. This is not a goodbye, but a brief break from each other."
Okay.
This was
thanks, Ma.
Late August, and almost 3 months later, and 5 months into their convictions in June, the couple still have not been found. The FBI is looking for them.
Sounds like they were lying.
And that didn't stop a judge this week from sentencing Avazian and Tarabellian in absentia to 17 and 6 years in prison, respectively.
They're not going to come back.
Prosecutors said that they and others carried out a scheme to steal more than $20 million in relief funds intended for small businesses during the pandemic. Yeah.
Scumbags.
Totally. The couple and Avazian's brother, Arthur, were found guilty of conspiracy to commit bank fraud, wire fraud, and money laundering at a trial in June. Richard and his brother were also convicted of aggravated identity theft. And now they've abandoned their children. So
they're just solid people.
Just sweethearts, right?
Pizza in the fridge. Yeah. See you in 2 decades.
All right, this is messed up. We'll end on this one. A gang of 6 people accused of stealing horses for slaughter and selling the meat to restaurants disguised as beef have been arrested in southern Brazil. Man. The gang distributed more than 1,700 pounds of hidden horse meat per week to restaurants. Up to 60% of restaurants in the area with beef on their menu had unwittingly bought horse meat from the gang disguised in steaks and hamburgers, public health officials said.
Why is there a saddle on the steak?
Inspectors also discovered other forms of spoiled meat, including rotting pork, turkey, and leftover food from pig feeding establishments were mixed inside the hamburgers.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds like the Joe Exotic menu.
Officials say, yeah, totally. Officials said an investigation was launched 2 months ago after the local Agricultural Defense Inspectorate raise the alarm. A forensics test carried out in restaurants selling hamburgers confirmed the presence of horse DNA in the food. The six people arrested are also accused of running an illegal abattoir with poor hygiene.
Oh, my God.
Right?
And there well, how is the customer service, at least?
That is what I have in the Bizarre File for you.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.